such an honor to speak, and I really don't take this lightly. So many amazing people get a chance to share, and it changes so many lives. So unless that's why we're here tonight. So if you wouldn't mind, turn to Jeremiah 29:13 in your Bibles or your device. You don't hear as much paper these days. This is one of my favorite scriptures, one that marked my life, and I could camp here forever. It says, Jeremiah 29:13, it says, if you seek me, you will find me, when you seek me with your whole heart. I love the Message translation. It says, when you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. So good, as Vinny says. I want to add my own translation here. Just add a little bit. This is the David Leitch translation from my own life, but I kind of wrote this out. I promise that if you seek me, you'll find me. And when, not if, you find me, you want to spend your life seeking me. It's really the story of my life. So let's pray again tonight. Come on, just grab the hand on of your person on your right and your left. Come on, let's just pray for each other tonight. God, I just thank you for tonight. Come on, squeeze a little extra harder if you really love him. Father, we welcome your presence. We thank you for all the songs that we sang. We thank you for all that you've already done tonight. God, and we thank you for what you're about to do. God, I pray that we would find you tonight. Jesus, we declare that you are love, you are life. God, you are grace, you are mercy. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. Have your way in us. And thank you that no one's here by accident. And I pray that every person in this room has an encounter with your love. And lastly, God, we bless the Pittsburgh Steelers. We thank you for this new season. We declare that this would be a winning season and that we would again bring home a Super Bowl championship. In Jesus' name, can I get an amen? Come on. I had to. And I got the mic so it counts. It's like sealed. It's over. You don't even need to watch. Man, I've been loving Wednesday nights this summer. What about you? It's so good. I love this room, like I said, and I love this theme that Brian picked out, his presence that we've been going after. And don't you love being able to hear from every staff member of this church? It's so good. All the messages, all the personal stories of encountering the love of God and how he changed us. And so tonight, I just feel led to share a little bit of my story, and I've shared it before, some of it, but I kind of want to take it a totally different direction. And but before I get into it too much, I want to share my first encounter with the Holy Spirit. It actually happened when I was 3 years old, and it was a Sunday morning, and we were on 13th Street in the Casket Factory. Come on, how many of you have been with us since then? It's awesome. And worship was just going off, and I got to tell you, worship has always been a massive call on this house. It's really not just the worship leaders. It's us just being obedient and stewarding the call of God on this house, but his presence, even before the renewal days in 94 and 95, his presence would come to 13th Street when we would worship, and it would change people's lives. And thank God for Charles and Ann. When they took over, it's like they knew what to do. They knew how to steward. I can't imagine my family's life without Charles and Ann. So amazing. I know they're not here, but can we just honor them in this place? Come on. Thank you, God. They're the best. God couldn't have picked anybody better. But so I was 3 years old, and we were in the second row. I guess I wasn't in children's church that day, but I was in worship because my mom was like, he's staying in worship. He has a call of God on his life. So, and I just get that now because I have Harper at 3 years old. But I tugged on my mom's dress, and yes, it was a dress because we dressed up back then in church before Renewal and before we were allowed to wear jeans with big holes in them and band sweatshirts. And but I tugged on my mom's dress, and I said, "Mom, do you see it?" She said, "What? What do you see?" "Just see. Do you see the smoke?" She said, this was actually before we had really cool smoke machines. So my mom said, "Honey, I don't see any smoke. What are you talking about?" I'm like, "Mom, the smoke is everywhere. It's taking over the room." She's like, "Where's it coming from?" And I said, "It's coming from the instruments. And it's coming from the drums. Mom, it's coming from the guitars. It's coming from the keys. It's coming from the sax." Because we had saxophones back then. You know what I'm saying? We should bring that back. I know John's all about that. We actually have a saxophone major in our Visible Music College, which started last night. Any Visible students here? Come on. Got one-ish? I mean, we got to tell them. They need to get into church. So, Christianity 101, get in church. but this encounter really marked me. Really, my parents would tell me this story all the time, and my life kind of... I grew up in the church, and I just fell in love with music, and I fell in love with worship, and tried to learn how to play every instrument because we didn't have, you know, all the musicians that we have now back then. And I even learned how to play the sax. Played the sax for 5 years. It's first chair in middle school. But there was only one sax player, so there's only one chair. But then we had to join marching band. I'm like, that's not cool. I'm not doing that. So... But I actually wish I would have stayed with it. Many of you know this part of the story. I went on to college later in life, and I just walked away from the Lord, and I just stopped playing music, and I stopped doing this worship thing that I started calling it this worship thing. And I was just in that season of my life where I didn't want to trust God with my life. I didn't want him to waste my life in some local church. I actually said that. I said that to my roommate in college who... I don't know if anybody knows Josiah Stoltzus. He said, "Man, I don't want to just end up working in a local church." Like, what the heck was I thinking? It's crazy. I was just in that season where all I could think about was myself and the future that I wanted to build. So, but God came after me anyways. And that's why I love the story of Nathanael in the Bible where God says to him, "I saw you under the fig tree." And we were just talking to Jason Upton about this a couple weeks ago. You know, with Jason, you just casually talk deep about scripture, you know, over coffee or whatever, food. And he said, "You know what's so cool about that, David?" You know the way he talks. He's just, only Jason can say it the way he says it. He said, in Hebrew culture, it was known that young men would sit under fig trees and think about what God wanted to do with their life and their future. And so when Jesus said, "Nathanael, I saw you under the fig tree," it just struck a chord in him. He gave it all away and decided to follow God. So that was, I can really relate to that. I was in that same season. So when I was in New York, and again, a lot of you know this story, but some of you don't, just felt led to share it. I was working for a big record label as an intern at the time, and I just started having these incredible encounters with the Lord, and I didn't even really want him. I was in this season where I was working hard and partying even harder, and I mean, we would party all night, and then we would go to work in the morning at 8 a.m. Anybody else do that ever? BC, before Christ? I know there's more hands that should be up. But, man, I was just was in this season where I just was after what I could take, what I could get. Anybody around me was competition. And God just started coming after me, and I would just have these massive encounters with the love of God, and it would just wreck me. I'd just fall apart, and then he'd put me back together, and Rich Mullins says, the presence of the Lord is, well, God's kind of like this guy who bloodies your nose and then gives you a ride home on his bicycle. And that was what God was doing. He was just wrecking me and putting me all back together. And then once that would start to fade, he would just come and wreck me again. And I would see people the way that God saw them. I started falling in love with God and falling in love with people. And I got the mic, so we got all night, so it doesn't matter. Everything began to change. Nothing else seemed to satisfy. There's this one time at the end of my work commitment, my internship, we were in this club, and the place was just going off, and we're watching, representing one of our label bands. It was just horrible music. I don't even know what I was thinking. It was like the worst band ever, but as a bunch of interns, we had to market this show, and it was a success, and hundreds, if not thousands, of people just came out for this show, and everyone's going crazy, and I'm up on this balcony, and I just heard this still small voice. After I had a series of these encounters throughout the summer, I just heard this random voice. It was like a random thought. You know, it's like one of those thoughts that you can't really come up with on your own, and that's the Holy Spirit. And I had this thought, like, what if all these people weren't here for this stupid band, but they were actually here to worship God? What if people actually filled a club and wanted to worship God because they longed for an encounter with the love of God, this Jesus that keeps messing up my life this summer? And so I would have to leave. I was just a mess. It was terrible. I just left, and I went back to school for my senior year, and so empty because I was so not satisfied, but I was so thirsty and hungry for more of his presence. So I did the only thing that I knew how to do growing up at Life Center. I picked up my guitar again for the first time in a while, and sat at this crummy little Casio keyboard, and I just started to sing, and I just started to play until the presence of the Lord filled this small apartment that I lived in, and he came every time. Because he always comes. If you seek me, you find me. And these accidental songs just started coming up, and just thought maybe it'd be cool tonight just to sing one of them. It's a song that I go back to in my own prayer closet, in my own alone time with God, even to this day, like 15, 16 years later. And it's one of those songs that just doesn't get old to me. It's just so simple. And even 15 to 18 years later, there's just no shortcuts. You got to get alone with God. You got to do that. That's what we're talking about all summer. It's where he transforms us. So, Tiff, would you mind coming up? Come on, can we get up for Tiffany? Yeah. It's an old song, but we added a new tag. And because we might record this song on this next
but I always mess it up, so I have
recording words. Project. Yeah, she's not texting, she's reading lyrics. But I you can keep playing for a little bit, Ricardo. Thanks, man. My dad preached on this a couple weeks ago, but Psalm 139 in the Passion Translation. Come on, how many of you love the Passion Translation? Verse 5 through 7, it says this. You've gone into my future to prepare the way. And in kindness you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. With your hand of love upon my life, you impart blessing to me. This is just too wonderful, too deep. It's incomprehensible. Your understanding of me brings me wonder, hope, and strength. Where can I go from your presence? God, where can I run and hide from your face? So I'd read stuff like that and just worship till he came. And I think the best songs that we write aren't from a place where we sit and we try to write a song, but it's from where Tiff was singing about, where we kneel and we just seek the Lord. And so,
all I want is you.
surrounds us, you overwhelm us, Jesus, you are here, so let your love overtake us as you embrace us, Jesus, you
daily bread. Oh, you are Lord. This is
lift our voice tonight. We sing. We're desperate. And I'm desperate for. Take a moment, fill this place with worship. Couple favorite encounter stories in the Bible. I love the story of Jacob wrestling with God. Genesis 32, verse 24, it says, "So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. The man saw that he could not overpower him, so he touched his socket, and his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, 'Let me go, for it is daybreak.' But Jacob replied, 'I will not let you go until you bless me.' The man asked him, 'What is your name?' 'Jacob,' he answered. Then the man said, 'Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and men, and you have overcome.' Jacob said, 'Please tell me your name.' But he replied, 'Why do you ask me my name?' Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, 'It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared.' The sun rose above him as he passed the land, and he was limping because of his hip." I love that. "And he was limping because of his hip." An encounter with the Lord changes the way that we walk. His presence transforms even our identity, the very essence of who we are. He calls us into, invites us into who we're really supposed to be. Jacob became Israel. Jacob meant heel grabber, overthrower, deceiver, trickster. And he did all those things to fulfill the meaning of his name. And in his presence, God called him to be Israel, which actually means wrestles with God. I love this other translation. It actually says triumphs with God. Doesn't the Lord do that? He takes our failures where we're lost. And then when we find ourselves in him, he calls us triumphant. He works all things out for our good. In chapter 33, the next chapter, I just love this. I just felt led to share this tonight. I shared this with some of our staff in chapel. It's when Jacob's about to face Esau, and Esau is his greatest enemy, his greatest obstacle, his biggest fear. Verse 9, it says, "But Esau said, 'I already have plenty, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself.' 'No, please,' said Jacob. 'If I have found favor in your eyes, accept this gift from me. For to see your face is like seeing the face of God.'" In his presence, God changes the way that we see others. We see the face of God in people. Come on, when was the last time you saw God's face in somebody else? We see people the way that God sees them. Because behind your encounter is an army of people who need an encounter. Amen? Lastly, I just want to read about one of my other favorite encounter stories. It's Moses. I know everybody knows this story, but it's fresh for me because my girls love Prince of Egypt. So I just felt like sharing it tonight. Exodus chapter 4 is where he encounters the Lord. But I love in chapter 3 where he is distracted and he's drawn into a meeting place with God with the burning bush. And the burning bush obviously represents the Holy Spirit. It's God's presence. But he has this random presence-filled moment that distracts him and gets him to seek God. And come on, how many burning bush moments do we just pass up in our week to week or in our lives? But then there's some of them that just mark us, and we're like, God, I have to seek you. And one of my personal burning bush moments, I wasn't going to share this, it's not even in my notes, but my burning bush kind of took the form of Chandi Thomas. And it was during that time where I was in college and I wasn't walking with the Lord, and I came home to visit my parents for the weekend, and they tricked me into going to Firestorm. And it was a wild firestorm. Like, John Crowder was here. It was just like, I grew up here, and it was like new manifestations. I was like, my parents have lost their minds. This church is so crazy. But I remember I walked into the building, and I sat down in the office. It was like this green room or whatever, and I sat down with Mom and actually Jolene Pickens, who isn't here tonight, but your mom, Maddie. And I was sitting there eating. And Chani just felt led, now I know why, but he just came over to give me a hug. And as he wrapped his arms around me, he just began to cry and cry and cry. And it wasn't awkward. It was like the love of God was just penetrating my heart. And this hard heart just began to soften and soften. And it was like this random presence-driven encounter that I had that just opened my heart just a little bit to seek the Lord and to be open to his love. And because months later, I went to New York and I already shared what happened there. It's just awesome. So I love you, Chandi. Chapter 4, it says in the beginning here, it says, Moses answered. He said, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me? What if they say, 'The Lord did not appear to you, Moses'?" Then the Lord said to him, "Moses, what's in your hand?" He replied, "A staff." Verse 17, God says, "Moses, take this staff in your hand so you can perform my miraculous signs with it." Just studying this, there's a lot of biblical scholars who agree with each other that what was in Moses' hand, this staff, actually represented Moses' occupation as a shepherd. And to Moses, it represented his massive failure. It represented him running away from Egypt, being lost in the wilderness. He once was a prince, and now he's this wandering shepherd looking after sheep. Just the most meaningless, worst job you could have. And they say when he was in Egypt, what he held in his hand was probably some form of like a scepter that signified or symbolized his rule as a young prince at the time. And now he looks at his hand, and it's just a staff. But I love that God takes our weakness and uses it for good. He takes our broken lives, our failures, and uses them to build his kingdom, to perform miraculous signs and wonders. I just want to ask, what's in your hand tonight? What's in your life that may seem like weakness, may seem like a failure? What are the broken parts of your heart that God wants to redeem? He first wants to redeem you so he can redeem others. And it could be anything. It could be things that are just unfair that you have nothing to do with. It could be addictions. It could be that job you went after, that career that failed, that idea that you think God gave you and you failed. It could be your marriage. I love verse 18. It says, then Moses came out of the presence of the Lord and went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, let me go back to my own people in Egypt to see if any of them are still alive. Jethro said, go, and I wish you well. From the presence, he was launched into his true call and his destiny. And before we pray for people tonight, I just want to show this clip of one of my heroes in the faith. It's a man named Rich Mullins. I mentioned him earlier. Any Rich Mullins fans in here? My wife grew up on Kevin Prosh and all the Vineyard Boys, but I grew up on Rich Mullins. And I think I love him, not just because he's such a pioneer in the worship world and great songwriter, but he wasn't perfect. And he failed a lot, but he wrestled with God and he found truth about who God was, who he was, and who others were. So go ahead, guys.
Well, this is yet another prayer song. And sometimes I find it hard to pray, and maybe that's why I've written so many prayer songs, is because it's easier if you sing sometimes. And God may find it more entertaining than if you just say it too. Who knows? Except that I'm just not really all that sure that God is all that concerned about being entertained. I'm not sure, except what that's just a human thing. Sometimes, you know, you try to pray, you try to impress God with all the right words, and I just don't think it's an easy thing to impress God Almighty, if you know what I mean. And here's the thing that I think we often forget, is that we don't have to impress him, because he's already knocked out about you. He already loves you more than you can imagine. I remember reading a thing that Picasso once said. I like to read what famous artists have to say, because I'm barely able to look at their paintings without going into a coma trying to figure out what it's about. But he said this one thing that I really did like. He said good taste was the enemy of great art, which I think is very, very true. Good taste has all to do with being cultured and being refined, and if art has to do with anything, it has to be do with being human. And one of the reasons I love the Bible is because the humans in the Bible are not very refined. They're pretty goofy, if you want to know the whole truth about it. And I remember when I was a kid, and people would always say, because I was one of those typical depressed adolescent types. I wrote poetry and stuff. It's how morose I was as a kid. And people would go around saying, oh, cheer up, man, because God loves you. And I'd always say, big deal. God loves everybody. That don't make me special. That just proves that God ain't got no taste. And I don't think he does. Thank God. Because God takes the junk of our lives, and he makes the greatest art in the world out of it. And if he was cultured, if he was as civilized as most Christian people wish he was, he would be useless to Christianity. But God is a wild man, And I hope that in the course of your life you encounter him. But let me warn you, you need to hang on for dear life. Or let go for dear life. Maybe is better. And this is a prayer for you, and you're welcome to sing it along with us.
So good, huh? Yeah. It's a stand. Ministry team or any of the pastors can come forward, stand behind me. It'd be great. Anybody who's on the worship team, any of the ministry school students from all the different ministry schools that we're a part of, I think the second or third year students, whatever. Who wants a fresh encounter tonight? Come on. Yeah. Yeah, you can. We can give the Lord some praise. That's fine. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Thank you, God. It's the best. It takes the broken parts of our lives. I love that. So what's in your hand tonight? What feels broken? What looks like weakness or a failure? Just come. Bring it before the Lord. We just want to pray for everybody. It doesn't matter. All different backgrounds, all different situations. And we have a couple of different prayer points here, but points of faith, we just specifically want to call some things out. But I just, praying this week and preparing, I just kept feeling like the Lord wants to break off loneliness off of people and let you know that you're not alone, that he's with you, he's for you, he's here tonight. And specifically also, I just feel like there's people in here that life, it just is happened and some very unfair things have happened just totally outside of your control, and God, he's coming for that too. So if any of that's you, just feel free to come forward just right now. If any of that's you, just feel free to come forward. And Tiff has some stuff, and John might have some stuff, but go for it, guys.
So I just have been feeling all week the scripture in Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And that line, in your presence is fullness of joy, just keeps like punching at me. And I feel like it's the indicator of whether we're walking with the Lord, you know? And like, for me, it's a challenge. Like, okay, this is an indication of my life with you. If I'm living a joy-filled life, and I feel like sometimes it gets so depleted. And so I just wanted to encourage you and also to just reach out and pray for those who have just feel like, I just don't have any joy right now. And you probably, you know, you can't feel the presence of God, or you don't, you know, any of that, that you just want that refilling of joy, because that's the indicator of his presence in our lives, is this overflowing joy that we can reach out and be the encounter to other people because of your joyful heart. So I just want to invite those of you who just need that refilling of joy to just come forward.
I just wanted to share this scripture. It's Matthew 11. Now the Message. It says, are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and I'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Thank you, Father. I was just thinking, people come up and they ask how I'm doing. You know, I tell them, oh, I'm doing good. I want to tell people I'm doing really good. I mean, how often do you say that to somebody? Someone asks you, how you doing? I'm doing good. No, I'm doing really good. And I mean, scripture said, I'll show you how to take a real rest. And I love, you know, people soak. And if you don't know what that means, this is your time, whatever you call it, where you get with God. You set time aside. But life can happen and life can get busy. And I just love when God, he sneaks up on you. when you least expect it. I mean, standing in worship and I'm just crying, and I don't have any idea why I'm crying, but God has, he's found me in the midst of life and the craziness. And so if that's you, if you haven't been able to find that time, get that time with him, make that time, we want to pray for you that you'll be able to find a real rest. Thank you, Father.
There's such a live, tangible atmosphere here as Ricardo's playing, and I'm sure he may start singing as well. If there's any of these invitations is on your heart, come up to the altar. And this theme this month of the presence, it's in this presence as we respond to these messages, respond to these words, respond to the atmosphere, that as you step forward, it's a step of faith. You know, and you're saying, God, that's me. I want to respond to it. And I want to, just for the ministry team, just to begin, you, as you come up, just begin to reach up from heaven. Just receive. You know, sometimes we'll have like points of contact. You'll come up and we'll pray it. But I feel it's rich in the atmosphere. So come up and just spend time at the altar. And just ministry team, be released to just begin to pray for people as you see God highlighting different people.
And I just want to encourage you also, if you have a son or a daughter who isn't walking with the Lord the way you know God has told you that they have a destiny on their lives, that take this as the power of the testimony of what God can do. Because God knows right where they're at. And this was a point of hope tonight for you. So he didn't do anything special just because it was me. He did it because he loves me and he loves you.
Thank you, God. So if any of that was you, just come forward and receive tonight. And everybody else, we just want to bless you. And I know as a young dad, there's kids who need to be picked up. And if you want, you can come back in and get some prayer later. But we're just going to open up the altar. And there's nothing like God's presence. Amen. It's where he makes all things new. He transforms us. He refreshes us. So if you're not up front, if you're in the back, just lift your hands towards heaven. Father, I bless every single heart here. God, I thank you, God, for all the sacrifice, what it took to come in tonight. Father, I pray that you would come, overwhelm them with your love, overwhelm them with your joy, overwhelm them with your rest, God. That you would draw them in. God, I even ask for a gift of thirst, a gift of hunger, a gift of faith. God, that they would seek you above all things, find themselves caught up in your presence, find themselves alone with you in all of heaven, God, that it would be inexplainable, undescribable, God. Come and transform us the way that you only can, God, through your presence, by your Spirit. Holy Spirit, I bless what you've done tonight. God, I pray that you would seal it upon our hearts, and I thank you for the fruit of the seeds planted tonight, the fruit of the seeds of surrender tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. We bless you. We'll see you on Sunday morning.